Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Well, I've been saying for a couple of years that we'll know the Steelers are finally making progress when they have a quarterback captain who actually stays at quarterback for the whole season. Mitch Trubisky was a captain 2 years ago, then got replaced, and you had the ridiculous sight of Mitch Trubisky late that year going out for coin flips before the game. Just embarrassing. Last year, you had Kenny Pickett as an offensive captain. By the end of the year, his teammates seemed to have turned on him. He seemed to, in some ways, have quit on them. And he was going out there as a captain. What are we doing here? So now I'm fearing that the exact same thing's going to happen this year. And again, I'm a Russell Wilson guy. I am, as much as anybody could be at this point. But I'm not convinced he's going to be their quarterback the whole year. I could see a scenario pretty easily of Justin Fields taking over at some point this season and Russell Wilson being the guy going out for a coin flip. One of these years, they got to get themselves an offensive captain who's an embedded starter and guaranteed to be that for the whole year. Now, I don't know who else they would have picked this year. Maybe Seumalo, even though he's hurt. Would that have been a better pick?
Remember when they had Najee Harris a couple years ago? Then he wasn't last year, and again he isn't this year.
Yeah, I do remember that. Everybody wanted to poo-poo that. Oh, that's no big deal. Wait, it's not a big deal?
Seems like a big deal again this year.
That a guy who was your captain isn't a captain anymore? How is that not at least something to talk about or pay attention to or ask why? I don't know, man. Over under Russell Wilson starting 11.5 games if healthy. I'm still taking the over, but not very confidently. You?
So that would be 12 games. I'm going to say yes, because the early portion of the schedule is more in their favor.
All right, Limits. Well, the floor is yours. And how about Russell Wilson? I'm thinking about that real time here because you just mentioned it.
That was the first item of the breakdown, yes.
He just got here 5 minutes ago. It's one thing if you bring in, Aaron Rodgers last year. Of course he's going to be your captain. This guy, we don't know. We don't know if he's going to be even – we don't know what's going to happen here.
No, we don't. And
I guess I'm not surprised. If you had asked me a week ago, 2 weeks ago, will Russell Wilson be a captain – I guess I would have said yes, but with reservations. That's a tough one.
You're also talking about a pool of, let's think about this defensively. Patrick Queen and Minkah Fitzpatrick, I think, are probably worthy captains. But Cam Hayward and TJ Watt are there.
They're the guys.
Offensively, yes. I mean, the cupboard is bare. Who do you have? Your offensive line are all young guys and Seumalo. And is Seumalo that type of guy? I don't know.
Pickens?
You have no wide receiver. George Pickens is not a captain. George Pickens is not your captain. You can see Jalen Warren being a captain. But
Jalen Warren would be a good pick for captain. I'm telling you that right now.
He doesn't command the type of presence on that offense, though, that you know you think of as big-time leader on the offense, out there every snap, captain type of guy. Like how Miles Killebrew is the number one special teams. I mean, he's an all-pro for a reason, how he played last year.
I don't think he would have been a bad pick. I think dual captains of Jalen Warren and Seumalo would have been interesting.
And go with five captains, maybe six. They've done that before.
No, they've gone with co-offensive captains before, many, many times.
They're doing it with co-defense.
Can I use my third Paul Paws? Do I get an extra one if I got the first two right?
Yes.
All right. So here are the Steelers' captains through the years.
I was just looking that up as well.
We had Pickett last year. Like I said, man. You know you're in a bad way when every year your captain quarterback is no longer the quarterback by the end of the season. We've had Pickett last year, Trubisky and Najee the year before, and it was absolutely a story that Najee wasn't one last year. We've had Hayward and Watt for four straight seasons now. Yeah, this is the fourth straight season. They were just waiting until TJ got of a certain age. Cam's been a captain every single year since 2015, which was the year that Troy was no longer here. He's been at least a co-captain, Cam, and then Ben was always one of your offensive captains. That started in 2008. Ben was a captain or co-captain. Not in 2010, though. I think Ben may have run into some off-the-field difficulties, if I recall correctly. So it was Heath Miller and Hines Ward for 1 year. But then Ben was at least one of the captains and often the only offensive captain for the rest of his career after that. So, yeah, man, one of these years, you better find a quarterback. You better find the right one because it's a long road in the NFL if you don't have that guy. Having said all that, I do like Russell Wilson still. I do. I'm just not willing to put that much down as a bet on him. All right. The floor is yours, City Limits. Go ahead.
The Bechtel Breakdown for Monday, Labor Day. Happy Labor Day, September 2nd, 2024.
Thank you, and happy Labor Day to you.
The NCAA, according to On3, is considering adding a fifth year of eligibility in all sports while keeping players redshirt, eliminating the national letter of intent. Wow.
I would have to read a story on that to comprehend what the whys of that would be. Why? Do you need a Paul pause? Or why are they? Why? What's the rationale here? Limitless wonder.
Such a policy is only currently permitted in football and wrestling. In football, for instance, a player can play in up to four regular season games and still preserve their red shirt. If the policy is changed to reflect what football and wrestling already do,
I don't
care.
Sports
center committees will have to determine.
I don't care. I'm sorry.
Red shirt.
I'm sorry if that's rude. I don't care. And let's move on to the next topic. Do you blame me?
Yes.
Yes.
Did you know college football now has a 2-minute warning?
I do.
But they don't call it
a 2-minute timeout.
They don't call it a warning. Reese Davis was saying that they were asked not to call it a 2-minute timeout. And this brings me to the fact that when I was at the college football game between West Virginia and Penn State this weekend, a buddy of mine, Jeremiah Miller, he works for KDKA TV.
I know him well. I taught him at Waynesburg.
Yes, when I was tweeting
Wonderful
out.
Wonderful man. He was in my class.
He's an incredible man. He recommended me to take your class. And you were gone by then. I could not take your class. Now I take your class every day.
What are you getting at?
What
here?
Grade would I get in that class? He would tweet it at me
at
and
this
said,
rate an F.
He said, why are you tweeting at the game? And I said, you know, I think about this a lot, but there are 75 different commercial breaks in just the first half. I mean, there's something to keep you occupied. And now they're adding another commercial break. that is instituted at the broadcast.
They never stopped at 2 minutes before this?
No, this is the first year.
All right.
This is the first year that college football has done a 2 minute warning.
I wasn't even paying attention. I don't care about that either. I'm sorry.
You don't care about that either?
No.
Either or either?
Either. Oh, wait, I don't care about that either. Either. I don't care about that
Good.
Either. I don't care about that either. Yeah.
Come
either.
On, Professor. What is the answer?
Either or. No pun intended.
Today is Terry Bradshaw's birthday. What is your fondest memory?
It's tough to have fond memories because I wasn't rooting for the 70s Steelers because I, like the rest of America outside Pittsburgh, was very jealous of them. But here's what I'll say about Terry Bradshaw. I've interacted with him a few times.
Congratulations on all your success.
Well, that wasn't a humble brag. It's just to inform my opinion here, is that I think he's not as bad a person as some people want to paint him out to be. Like they think of him just as a total phony. I don't think I enjoyed my interactions with him. When I think of him as a quarterback, I will say this, limitless wonder. I think he's the greatest clutch deep ball passer who ever walked the planet. Clutch deep balls. They weren't throwing little, dink and dunk back then. He certainly wasn't. I don't really give a crap what his passer rating was because that's all built around the dink and dunk, the passer rating stat. What I give a crap about is that in a Super Bowl with Cliff Harris, I think it was, bearing down on him, about to literally concuss him, he delivered a ball that traveled about 65 yards in the air to Lynn Swann at the goal line in stride. That's what I care about. I care about what he did to a very good Rams team in the Super Bowl, very talented team, better than their record that year, with those passes to John Stallworth. Great catches also, as with Swann. And there are many other examples of Terry Bradshaw just burying teams and winning titles because he had the guts, the cojones, the skill, the athleticism to deliver those kinds of passes in the biggest moments. The greatest clutch deep ball passer in NFL history. And thank you for asking. Happy birthday. How old is he?
That I don't know.
No, you're not going to take another Paul pause on my time.
No.
I'll say this too about
76.
Him. Yeah, he made a career post-football out of playing, you know, being a professional sort of idiot. And I don't say that to insult him. He took on, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He willingly embraced that role because people would rip him for that unfairly when he was a player. So he decided, I'm going to go with this, and that's what I'll be on TV, and they'll pay me lots and lots of money to play that role. Also with Terry Bradshaw, never forget that he called his own plays and put his ego aside in lots of moments to help them win games. Just he was an all-time great. Thank you.
Eli Holstein is now officially Pitt's starting quarterback. It was announced last week, but the depth chart is reflecting it. There's no Orrs with Nate Yarnell. It is Eli Holstein, the starter, and Desmond Reed, the official starting running back, with Rodney Hammond suspended for the year. And wide receiver Kenny Johnson is also wide receiver one for the Pitt offense that looked pretty good against Kent State. It looked better than I expected them to be. I thought they'd blow them out, but I didn't think it would be that great.
I can't be surprised at what I saw. Kent State regarded as one of the worst teams in all of college football. They were 1-11 last year, and their only win was against Central Connecticut. Having said that, I feel fairly confident saying that Pitt's passing game, which was beyond embarrassing last year, they at least have the capability to pass the ball. I think they have three pretty good receiving weapons, at least, and Desmond Reed is my new favorite athlete in Pittsburgh. I love this guy. Reminds me of Deion Lewis a little bit. He's really, really exciting to watch. That punt return was spectacular. So I don't know if Kent State is going to translate or how much it'll translate. You know, Eli Holstein also had some passes right into their arms about three different times, one of which got picked. I don't know, but he can clearly sling it a little bit if you give him time. So I think there's a chance that they could have a very good offense. I just need to see them against a real opponent one of these weeks.
Yeah, I think that's fair. especially with Cincinnati coming up. They're not very good, but getting them ready for West Virginia, who I still think is a pretty good team.
I'm not so sure about that.
What makes you think that West Virginia's not a very good team? That game for me was more than
Neil Brown's entire history there. I know they won some games last year, but I have no more Paul pauses left. So you go ahead and talk for a minute.
My whole belief, and I know Pony had the exact opposite take from that game, is that Penn State is better than we thought, not that West Virginia is a lot worse than we thought. And part of the reason
Who decided West Virginia was good? They played two teams last year. They played Oklahoma and they played Penn State, the only two ranked teams on their entire schedule, and they lost by a combined 90-35. Or 98-35.
But they won the Duke's Mayo Bowl.
Yeah, they did do that, and they beat Duquesne. They beat Pitt and Phil Jurkovic. They beat TCU. They beat BYU. They beat Cincinnati and Baylor. When did we decide West Virginia was good? So your original question, why do I think West Virginia's bad or average and a difficult opponent to judge Penn State from? Because of Neil Brown's entire history there. And thank you for asking.
Which is completely fair because he's done next to nothing there. Garrett Green played horrible.
He sure did.
He was bad. He was missing wide open receivers. There's a guy standing wide open in the end zone and he short hopped the ball to him like an infielder trying to
pick a ball. It was horrific. It really was.
And the offensive line wasn't very good for them either, and their corners got completely shelled and left out to dry.
I mean, I'm glad they beat Baylor last year. Baylor was 3-9. So why wouldn't you beat Baylor? I'm having a hard time. It seems like this whole West Virginia finish last year was a bit of a ruse. I'm glad they beat Cincinnati last year. I truly am. I'm glad that their last two wins were Cincinnati and Baylor. Cincinnati was 1-8 in something called the AAC last year, if that's even their conference. Or are they in the Big 12? I don't give a crap. They stink. So whatever happened with Neil Brown in West Virginia last year, people lost their minds. Who else did they beat? Tell me, who else did they beat last year? Did they have a good win? What was BYU's record last year?
They were average.
They stunk. They were 2-7.
That's not average.
In whatever conference they were in.
They beat Baylor. They beat Cincinnati. They beat BYU. They lost to Oklahoma. They beat UCF.
No, they didn't just lose to Oklahoma. They lost 59-20 to the 17th ranked team in the country.
And they lost to Oklahoma State by double digits.
48-34. They gave up 41 against Houston, and they got blown out against Penn State. They did blow out Duquesne. I'll give them that.
Jeez, maybe they're, yeah.
They blew out Duquesne.
They ended strong.
Yeah, I'm telling you, against teams that all stunk, Austin.
Yeah,
tell me who
fair.
Else they beat. And I'm going to spend the rest of the show looking up last year's West Virginia opponents.
No, I have it. They beat UCF. Really did not beat many people.
They beat UCF that finished 3-6 in their conference. I'm still waiting for a team that was even respectable that they beat.
Didn't you pick them to go 9-3 this year?
I don't know. Did I?
Yes.
That's good. Well, because I'm an idiot. Because of people like you.
Oh, blame me and Paul instead of your own insight and your own eyes.
How about TCU? What happened with them last year?
They lost to Colorado and then
West
fell on
Virginia
their face.
West Virginia beat TCU last year.
TCU actually was a decent team last year.
Where do you keep coming up with this? They were 5-7 overall and 3-6 in the Big 12. They stunk. When did you become a Neil Brown apologist? I'm going to go through the entire schedule. And you're damn right it is. Now I'm going to. We know how bad Pitt was.
Yeah, I mistaken TCU for someone else. They sucked last year.
So let's go to Texas Tech. And then if they sucked last year, then West Virginia didn't even beat an average team.
The year before that, they were in the college football playoff. They were in the national championship.
Yeah. Well, who cares? Texas Tech was okay. They were 6-6 in the regular season. That was their crown win, their big win. Their signature win last year was Texas Tech. Oh, and then I forgot they beat North Carolina in a bowl game. I'd have to go up and look it up and see if either team played any of their regulars. I don't care about bowl games. They mean nothing. West Virginia's record last year was a fake, a fraud, a ruse, and they're average at best.
Yeah, they went 9-3 in the regular. They went, 8-4 in the regular season. They won their bowl game. The ceiling was on the floor, though, for West Virginia going into the last couple of years, though. And I think that's part of why the lore has come back for West Virginia. And Pat McAfee was there. Somebody at the Crowley tailgate was talking about West Virginia going to the playoffs.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, you kidding me?
They also had the worst pass rush I've ever seen in that game.
They did they could ever not get to Aller, no. And the line's pretty good for Penn State, but they could not. They didn't. I don't think they had one sack.
They should have moved on while they could. Would have been very easy to justify it last year.
Now they got to keep them around for a bit.
They could have said, yeah, we won eight games. First of all, eight games, they could have said in year. Well, how long has Neil Brown been around? Was last year year four, year five?
I think it's year four.
So we like the finish we had, but if you actually look into our record, we didn't beat anybody. We only won eight games. We aspire to way more than that at West Virginia, and we're moving on from Neil Brown. Instead of doubling down on Neil Brown. Doubling Brown, you could call
doubling
it.
Doubling down on Brown.
All right, next.
Did you see Kirk Herbstreit's dog in the booth during the game yesterday for USC and LSU?
No.
They did their opening live shot, their pregame shot on ABC, and his dog, Ben, interrupted the shot and stood right in between Herbstreit and Chris Fowler and was wagging his tail. You can only see the dog wagging his tail, and then they go to another shot of the dog just standing in the middle of Reese Davis and Kirk Herbstreit, and I love dogs and thought it was cool.
I like that. I also loved that Nick Saban. Did you see him and McAfee, that little clip of McAfee?
I don't think Saban likes hanging out with McAfee.
It looked like it was during a break, and McAfee was sort of dancing along to some music, and Nick Saban was just glaring over there. Just glaring at him.
Staring off into space, too.
Which actually might make for some good television. I don't know. I didn't see any of it. Next.
That's all.
That's all?
I mean, I have a couple more if you'd like to hit them, but we're also potentially up against it.
I hear you.
Broncos, here's one more. Broncos coach Sean Payton downplays rumors that the 49ers offered a third-round pick for Courtland Sutton. This is a guy that I thought the Steelers could potentially should have went after as well. Payton said, I'm going to say in the last 3 months there's been multiple teams that called about Sutton. He's a good football player. It's a little bit of a stretch related to the specifics. I read the same things that you read, and I would say we didn't get nearly as far down the road as what may have been reported. It's insignificant for me to comment on every call that comes into the general manager, George Patton, or myself would be ludicrous.
Well, what's more ludicrous is going into a season with Van Jefferson as your number two receiver, so I saw something yesterday about DeAndre Hopkins, maybe interest in him for the Steelers. He was actually pretty good last season. I would be interested in that. But, man, they've pretty much run out of options here, yes?
They have. I would still try to swing at Davante Adams. Watching that Netflix documentary Receiver, it doesn't seem like he's that interested in being there.
In being in Vegas?
Yes. With no quarterback.
Okay.
He likes the coach.
Go for him then. Anything.
Troy Faltano is practicing at Steelers practice today. He's out there. Nick Faribault, our friend from Slippery Rock,
yeah,
has a video of Faltano practicing. Looks to be a full participant right now.
Slippery Rock zone. Well, I mean, I guess that's good news.
That is good news.
Is it? I mean, of course, it's good news that he's healthy, but in terms of week one, is it a good thing that Faltano will start at right tackle? Because the only time we saw him in the preseason, he struggled too.
I thought he was okay in that first game. Not like
he gave up two sacks.
It wasn't good. But there were areas where I saw out of him good room for growth.
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to be a really good player long term. But I'm not sure about this opener when you're coming off an injury. And the only time we've seen you struggled in pass protection. I'm not sure there's a good answer at right tackle.
I still think he's better than Dan Moore.
I think everybody's better than Dan Moore, and I also think the Steelers should take another left tackle next year and not play him at left tackle, and that'll be three in a row. Three left tackles in a row that don't play left tackle. Wouldn't that be fun?
No.
What do we have up next, Limits?
You tell me.
Texts in the city? Are we allowed to play the music?
We don't have many texts.
Or music?
No.
That could cut down on the pleasure of listening to that particular segment. We're going to take a trip around the NFL. We're going to look at week one. I think there's a ton of great games. Let's do that. Coming up next, Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Are you angry with me right now?
Yes.
About what?
I don't know. I haven't made up my mind.
Do you think I sabotaged that segment?
Yes.
In what way? That I didn't want to answer the first question?
Yes.
But you'll admit it was...
Or the third question, or the fifth question, or...
The Bradshaw question, I went on...
That was a good question.
The first question you'll have to admit was boring.
The captains?
And uninteresting. No, I don't even know what it was. The NCAA football question.
About the one that I was saying about a fifth year of eligibility in all sports.
Yeah.
While keeping a red shirt.
Yeah, I don't even know.
That's pretty much like how wrestling and college football, you could play four games while you redshirt and still play. I think they're trying to do that in every sport.
I know, but I still find myself not caring.
Good, don't.
Anything else from that? Any leftover feelings?
Not really.
I think Bechtold's breakdown, we should do it every Friday at noon. I think it's
that
wonderful.
That was the plan. It hasn't happened the last couple of weeks because you haven't been here.
All right. Well,
and Paul sabotages the segment.
So Paul sabotaged it too?
Paul either forgets or he schedules a guest for noon and we don't do it.
Well, I would say that we can rectify that. Just
let's do it.
Shoot Paul a text saying keep Fridays at noon clear for Bechtold's breakdown.
Big Thursday and Friday this week.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks... What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
I'll tell you this about Neil Brown, too. Somebody named Brian McCracken puts out there that prior to Neil Brown arriving, WVU had been ranked in the top 25 AP at some point in 16 of the previous 17 seasons. Okay, so before he got there, 16 of the previous 17, at some point they're ranked. They have spent 0 weeks in the top 25 over the last 6 seasons. He's never spent a week in the top 25. They had a mirage of a record last season, and as I suspected, North Carolina didn't play anybody in that bowl game. That was a total mirage. They had every reason to move on from Neil Brown, and now they're stuck with him. I don't know for how long, but they're stuck with him. Tom Lucci used to write in New Jersey. I think he's doing some other stuff now. Coaches who embarrassed themselves today from Saturday. Neil Brown, Mike Elko, Willie Fritz, Billy Napier, and Dabo Swinney. Not just because their teams lost, it's because their teams were not prepared to play. I couldn't agree with that more. Myself. You?
I did see that number and that stat. And yeah, it's not good. And I didn't realize that West Virginia was that successful beforehand. And it is very unfortunate for that program that the model has changed so significantly that a 8-4 season was considered such a success, but it's because of the past failures that Neil Brown had. It seems maybe it's an aberration?
The whole thing's been a failure. His biggest win last year was Texas Tech.
His biggest win was probably Pitt. And that was such a bad Pitt team.
I guess because it was the backyard ball.
That win saved his job.
Yes, it did.
He probably would have been fired.
At least. The 50-minute mark on the Fan, dedicated to Austin Bechtold today and brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. What's Cooking brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
Very kindly. Looking at week one of the NFL, man, I think we're littered with great games other than the Steeler game. Other than the Steeler game, if I had two tickets to go to one of these games, Wonder Twin, which one would you want to go to? What's the game of the week in your mind? Baltimore KC? Green Bay Philly?
Green Bay Philly is in Brazil.
Dallas Cleveland? Rams Detroit? Jets at Niners is the one I would be at.
I'd go to Baltimore Kansas City.
I would go to Jets at Niners. I think that's going to be a fascinating game to see if Aaron Rodgers makes it to the end of the first series, to see if Brandon Ayuk has a good game for the 49ers.
Who cares about Brandon Ayuk?
I also think there's some low-key good games. Would you like to hear about those? Yes, you would, and thank you.
Yes.
Houston at Indy. I think Anthony Richardson is going to be a beast this year.
I don't think he's very good.
And I think that the Texans might be in for an upset that day. I really do. You like them apples?
No. I think the Texans will win by a touchdown.
I think Tennessee-Chicago is a fascinating game. A lot of people saying that Tennessee is their surprise team.
Well, those people don't know what they're talking about.
That this team has a new coach. They have Levis and Butthead. They have a little Tony Pollard here. New wide receiver there, that they're actually more talented than people think. And then Caleb Williams is a show unto himself. The Bears are favored by 4.5. I like the Titans to cover there, my friend.
I like the Bears to win by 7. I don't think Will Levis is all that good.
You have every right to believe that. How about Bo Nix at Seattle? You interested in that game going back out to Oregon?
I am very interested
in that. I mean, Washington, Oregon.
Going to Oregon. I mean, he did
He'll travel
go to Oregon.
Through Oregon.
He will.
Right?
He won't make a stop in Eugene, but I think he's going to be decent.
How about Dallas at Cleveland?
That is one of the ones that is very intriguing to
me. I'm picking
probably
Dallas,
second.
Dallas to cover all day long.
What's
at
the spread?
Cleveland. 2.5 for the Browns.
So you think Dallas is going to win on the road, though?
They're going to, yes.
I think they're going to win, too.
I don't think Deshaun, if I were a betting man, that would be my number one bet of the weekend. I like Tennessee to absolutely cover. They're getting 4.5 at Chicago. I like the Bills to cover at home against Arizona. I don't think the Bills are going to be great this year, but against Arizona, it's only a 6-point spread. Holy horse milk. Also, you have the replay of the Matthew Stafford Bowl on Sunday night. Who are you rooting for in that one?
The Lions.
Yeah?
The Lions. Sorry to cut you off there.
No, I'm glad you did. Why the Lions?
I think this might be their year. It's going to go one of either two ways. Either last year after going to the NFC Championship game, the Lions are going to get over the hurdle. They're going to jump over it and get past that hump of winning two playoff games last year for the first time since 91. First time they won two playoff games was like 1957. Or they're going to fall completely flat, and Jordan Love's going to take over that division. But I think the Lions are going to go back to the NFC Championship.
Thank you, Wonder Twin. I'll see you and Paul, presumably, in the morning.
Thank you. We're going to have Shelty.
Mm-hmm.
Tomlin's going to talk.
Ooh, yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's going to be a very interesting day.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.